This is last meeting until the 13th of July. We have about 1.5 months break after tonight, and we'll be back again on the 13th of July. We'll be having some conventions in Penang, and so please take note of that. Our next meeting down here is on the 13th of July. Let's turn tonight to the book of Amos. We're teaching through the Bible series. We completed the book of Joel. And tonight we're on the book of Amos. Amos lived during the time, he's a contemporary of Hosea and Jonah. We have already covered the book of Hosea, so you roughly know the time span in which he prophesied. Although he was called Amos of a place, Amos of Tekoa, he was of the southern kingdom, which is the kingdom of Judah and Benjamin. Yet Amos, who called himself a herdsman and a tender or sycamore trees, was called as a prophet of God toward the northern kingdom, which was the nation of Israel. And even though you find statements in this little book where he says that he was no prophet, but he's just a herdsman, but when he said that, he's just saying it in the same manner as John the Baptist when it asked him, "Are you the one who is to come? Are you the prophet, or who are you?" Although he was a prophet, he says that, and although he was in a sense the Elijah to come, because Jesus acknowledged that he fulfilled part of the prophecy on the Elijah to come, not the full part. He denied it when the Pharisees came to ask him, "Who are you? Are you the Elijah to come? Are you the one who is to come? And who are you?" John the Baptist just said that he was a voice crying in the wilderness. He did not acknowledge that he was a prophet or he was Elijah to come. Which later on Jesus Christ told his disciples that when he was talking about his second coming and about his coming, the disciples said, "Did not the scriptures say that Elijah must come first?" And Jesus said Elijah had already come. And he was referring to the partial fulfillment of the prophecy by John the Baptist, who was in a sense, not totally, but in a sense, the Elijah to come. So although Amos himself denies that he was a prophet, he was a prophet. He says there in the Bible, in his little book, "I am no prophet," but he was a prophet. And so we realize that some people who call themselves prophets, they are no prophet. But Amos was a prophet and he said he was no prophet. He was a very humble man, herdsman, untrained, like the other prophets of like Isaiah, etc. He was not among the school of the prophets. He just arose by himself. Most of these other prophets came from the school of the prophets, a remnant of Samuel's ministry, a remnant of Elijah and Elisha's ministry, where they always have a school of prophets. But Amos was not among the normal school of prophets. He was stood up by himself. Let's go to God in prayer as we consider this book. Father God, we praise you and we thank you for this wonderful book. And Father, although this is a book of judgment, a book of woes, we ask, oh God, that you teach us things of the last days. You prepare your church, Lord, that you prepare us for that which you have promised. We know, Father God, that Jesus is here in our midst tonight. And we ask that you glorify Jesus in our midst. Lift him high up, Lord, that we may all see him. Hide me behind your cross, Lord, that we may only see Jesus. We may only consider Jesus, Lord. Father God, we ask that you exalt your word above your name. That your word, O Lord, will take its rightful place in our hearts and in our minds. We ask, O God, that you will speak the Rhema word into our life. We ask, O God, that not only will we receive a teaching, but we may hear the voice of God speaking to us through this book. We ask that you open all the jewels and the treasures here laid in this book unto us tonight. And we promise, O God, that in all that you do, we give you all glory, worship and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Amos is divided into three major portions. Chapter 1 and chapter 2 speaks about his pronunciation of judgment upon six nations, excluding Israel and Judah. And altogether there were eight pronunciations of judgment upon eight different nations. And there is chapter 1 and chapter 2. From chapter 3, right on to chapter 6, is the middle section where you find three main messages. Each one starting with the word here and ending, or we're halfway down the point in some of them, or some towards the ending, having the conclusion with the word therefore. For example, in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Hear this word that the Lord has spoken." Then in chapter 4, verse 1, "Hear this word, you cows of Bashan." We'll tell you who the cows of Bashan are later. Chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "Hear this word which I take up against you." And chapter 5, chapter 6 consists of the last major discourse or message. So from chapter 5 to chapter 6, there are three main messages, each one starting with the word here. Three main messages, and you can outline them in the second section into three subparts. Then we have the final portion, which starts from chapter 7, and it ends towards the end in chapter 9, where you have the five visions. Five separate visions. And some of them take a small little description, only one or two or three verses. But they talk about five major visions. And some of the visions are described in a longer area, but there are five major visions. And those five are important because they point to the last days. Now let's look at chapter 1 and chapter 2. Amos is a prophet of judgment. You remember how Hosea was also commissioned by God to prophesy to the northern kingdom. They were to warn the northern kingdom about the destruction that is to come. Hosea prophesied in his unique way through his life. You remember about Gomer, his wife, and how God used Gomer as a type of Israel, and how Hosea is a prophet of love. He speaks the love of God, and he woos the people back. At the same time as Hosea was prophesying love and judgment at the same time, Amos comes out of the blue and just pronounced judgment. And of all the prophets, Amos was a very, very crude, but some may not consider him just crude, perhaps those who are receiving his prophecies consider him rude. Because the cows of Bashan are the high society ladies of Israel. So, he says, "Oh, cows of Bashan, I wonder how many people got offended." See, Amos was not trained like Isaiah among the cultured schools. Amos was a rough, tough character. He was like a little farmer called by God to women who have been a part of the sin in Israel, he said they remind him of the cows. He was a herdsman. So let's see in chapter 1 and 2, we'll divide the eight prophecies of judgment into two parts, because the first six stand by itself and the last two stand by itself. If you will notice that each of the six nations are specially picked up. Although there were nations that were around Israel at that time, and they were threats to Israel in Amos' time, in the time of Amos, they were picked up especially and had a prophecy attached to them because they had an eschatological application. Just like the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the seven churches were actual churches. There were more than seven churches during the time that John was on the island of Patmos. Why should God just choose seven churches and give the message to just the seven churches? There were hundreds of churches around in those days. What about Jerusalem church? It was still going on. A lot of other churches were alive. What about the church of Antioch? Why leave them out in Revelation 2 and 3? It's because the seven churches point to an eschatological message that we today apply to a typical seven church periods or church ages throughout church history, bringing us to the Laodicean age. Now, in the book of Amos, the picking up of these nations that were threats of to Israel was for a specific purpose because there's an eschatological application. If you see the whole book of Amos as having a word for the last days, then the entire book must have a hidden eschatological message. We realize that it did, because let me jump ahead of myself just to show you that the whole book has a hidden eschatological message in chapter 9, verse 11. It says, "On that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David which has fallen." Now this prophecy was quoted in Acts 15. And that has not come to pass yet. So we realize that there are parts of this book that points to a lot of future things, although Amos was prophesying to the northern kingdom. There was always a dual fulfillment of prophecy. There was an actual fulfillment, and then there is a futuristic fulfillment, which is in our days. So in the book of Amos chapter 1 and 2, all the six nations, if you note carefully, are a type of the Antichrist, or Antichrist. We here in Asia get a little mixed in our English. Sometimes we speak Queen's English, Antichrist. Then after we expose to the Americans, we say Antichrist. For you, either it's anti or anti, but they are the same. Right? And notice the first nation that is mentioned is verse 3, Damascus, which points to the Syrians. The Syrians in the book of Daniel are a type of the Antichrist. You notice that in the book of Daniel, I have to cross-reference to all this to show that there was an actual prophecy about the Assyrians, the northern kingdom. And we realize that in chapter 11, verse 36 and 37, Daniel chapter 11 verse 36, 37 are prophecies that are fulfilled by the Antichrist. "Then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished, for what has been determined shall be done. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above them all." It is a prophecy, the northern kingdom, which we already covered, was Assyrians, or Syria, which points to Damascus as the capital, and it brings forth a picture. One of the aspects of Antichrist, there are sixfold manifestations of the Antichrist. One is the Assyrian Antichrist. Then in chapter 1, verse 6, "For three transgressions of Geza and for four." Now, the area of the Geza in the book of